is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Stand on your feet, everybody. If you know God is, come on and worship him. God is my all and all. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, the 14th number and the first verse. Psalm 14 and 1. There you will find these words. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. I want to stop right there. Amen. I really want the focus of this message to be on one word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You probably have not heard many sermons with such a short text, and that is my text, God is. Amen. God is. I don't have to tell you where to find this one word that I want to focus on this morning, because it appears some 4,447 times in the Bible. Turn to any page in the Bible and you will find the text of my sermon. And even though it consists of but one word, you could spend all eternity expounding on this word and you would never fully comprehend its meaning. The word is God. 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 Whose height and depth and length and breadth no philosopher has ever been able to fully explain or understand. No matter how much time and energy is spent trying to decipher our God, he is still a mystery. That's why I laugh at these denominations and religions that try and act like they're the only ones who are living the way God commands. They're the only ones who have a real relationship with God. I want to submit to you this morning that in order to begin to understand God, we have to accept some very basic truths. Number one, the first thing we have to accept is that God is. I said God is. Two short words, yet two words with tremendous significance. God is. And do you know, I have discovered that if that truth gets hold of your mind and your heart, it will affect your entire life. It will affect what you believe about science. It will affect what you believe about philosophy. It will influence your daily life, and it will ultimately determine your eternity. Let me hear you say, God is. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 14, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Y'all, it's not his lips that speak this blasphemous lie. It is his heart. The fool says there is no God simply because he or she is so enamored by their own value, their own self-worth, that they deny the existence and need for a God. I don't suffer necessarily from low self-esteem, but I have never thought so much of myself that I believe that I can make it without God. I thank God for my little Bachelor of Science degree from Southern University in economics and finance. I'm thankful that I'm pastor of this great church, but y'all, I need God. Let me just go on and tell you that I agree with the psalmist when he says that if you don't believe in God, you are a fool. I didn't say it, the psalmist said it. There is abundant proof everywhere of the existence of God. In fact, it's so abundant that no man can sit down and consider the proofs thoroughly and candidly without acknowledging the existence of God. One of my favorite quotes about the existence of God comes from President Abraham Lincoln. He said, before we had satellites in space and before we had rockets that could lift man out into space, Abraham Lincoln said that he could see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist. But he said he could not conceive how one could look into the heavens and say there is no God. I come by to tell you this morning, God is. Nature itself proves the existence of God. Throughout nature, there are marks of creative intelligence. Everywhere in nature, we see order, we see symmetry, we see law. Everywhere you look, you will find the marks of intelligence and creative design. Whether you look at it in whole or in part, there is purpose and design. Scientists will confess that the tiniest discernible molecule under the most powerful microscope reveals perfect beauty and structure. And the same is true of the vastness of nature by the very spiritual intimacy between nature and man. Everywhere you see order, symmetry, law, intelligence, and design, all of this proving that an intelligent being created the material universe in which we live. And y'all, I've come by to tell you this morning that that intelligent being is God. If someone stood up to say that this wonderful universe in which we live came into being by an accidental concurrence of atoms which danced around through the endless ages until they danced into their present form, some would call him a philosopher. On the other hand, I would call him a fool. The truth is right in front of us. God is. Tell your neighbor, God is. The second thing we have to accept is that evolution is a man-made explanation of man's existence. I know that we're taught in school that we evolved from monkeys. I always found that suspect because if we evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? I mean, come on now, if a higher order of being is taking over and replacing a lower order of beings, then if we evolved from monkeys, it would seem that there would be no more need for monkeys. It was Reverend Upshaw who said, one monkey don't stop a show. And y'all thought that was funny because he was referring to me because I was on vacation. And he said, church has to go on, pastor ain't here, but one monkey don't stop the show. And some of y'all laughed real loud, but you didn't get the implications of that saying. The implications of that saying is that the reason one monkey don't stop the show is because there are other monkeys. And so in a real sense, what he was saying is that one monkey is on vacations, but we monkeys, oh, y'all don't want to say nothing this morning. But I gave up belief in evolution a long time ago, not through a theological argument, but through simple scientific reasoning. There is not a single proof of the hypothesis of evolution. People talk about the missing link. They're missing it, all right. There is not a single proof that one species evolved into another species. There is not one single observed instance of the evolution of a higher species from a lower one. Think about it for a minute. If mankind evolved from apes, how did it stop in midstream and leave some apes behind to continue as apes? And so it's true that some species have changed with time, but there is not a single bit of evidence that a lower species developed into a higher species. The scientific hypothesis of evolution is nothing more than a guess. That's all it is. Because man, y'all, has this insatiable desire to come up with an explanation for what he does not understand. Here's what science wants you to swallow. Science wants you to believe that some unorganized protoplasm developed into all the forms and life and beauty that we see today. But my question is this: who put the primordial protoplasm into the universe in the first place? If it all started with protoplasm, then it was done by the creative wisdom and power of God. Tell your neighbor, God did it. If God can create primordial protoplasm, then God can turn protoplasm into the world we see now. Man must accept that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I love science, and one of my, of all the scientists, my favorite branch of science is physics. And the reason is because most physicists believe in God. Sir Isaac Newton believed in God. Amen. Most physicists throughout time believe in God, And the reason they believe in God is because they say the universe is too orderly to have been an accident. They say that when you look at our cell structure and when you look at the physical makeup of man, when you look at the trees and the sun and the stars, it's too orderly to have been an accident. Is there anybody in this house this morning who understands that you're not here by accident? You're not here by coincidence, but you are part of the plan and purpose of God. If you know that you're part of the plan and purpose of God, you ought to give him praise. Those who know me well know that one of my favorite physicists was a man by the name of Stephen Hawking, who died a few years ago, and you probably have seen him on television. He suffered from a neuron motor disorder called ALS, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was one who believed in God most of his life. But just to show you how the devil, if you let him, will turn you into a fool. Because before he died, Stephen Hawking said that there really was not a need for a God to create all of this. He concluded that all was needed was gravity. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you, don't let the devil turn you into a fool. You better trust in the word of God. I've read many of Stephen Hawking's book. I've read his book on History of the World, Part 1, History of the World, Part 2. He talks about, amen, dynamic theories. He talks about black holes. He is one of the foremost experts on black holes, amen. And he said he actually developed a mathematical equation to prove the existence of black holes. He's the one who said that there is a huge black hole out in the universe that will someday absorb and suck in all of the existing galaxies in the universe. Amen. He said that, yes. And he said that when that happens, time is going to converge upon itself. Do you know what that means? Stephen Hawking said that what will happen when time converges on itself is that we won't remember what happened yesterday. We will remember what happened tomorrow. He said that instead of you remembering the glass as it falls off of the table, you remember the glass as it gets back on the table. That's what will happen when time converges on itself. But I wish I could talk, just have one little talk with Stephen Hawking. I would tell him, man, you may be brilliant. Amen, man, you may have come up with the mathematical equation to prove the existence of black holes and all of that, but there's one thing you got wrong. You get an F. You get an F. Amen. You get an F when it comes to your belief that there is no God. I don't know about you, but I know in my heart, I know in my soul that there is a God. How do you know it, Pat? I know it because he woke me up this morning. How do you know it, Pat? I know it because he looked beyond my faults. And he's, how do you know it, Pat? I know it because he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. If you believe God is, give him praise in this place. The final thing we have to accept is history. History proves that there's a God. There's a very, very special recorded history that proves there is a God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I said that there's a recorded history that proves that there is a God. It is the history of Jesus of Nazareth as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Great effort has been put forth to disprove the authenticity of these four Gospels. Brilliant men of remarkable genius have struggled to tear apart the history of Jesus Christ as recorded in the four Gospels, and every effort has met with utter failure. Yes, David Strauss devoted his life to discrediting the history of Jesus. Y'all, he died unsuccessful. Renan, with rare subtlety and literary deftness, endeavored to succeed where Strauss had failed. He too died unsuccessful. And every other similar effort to pull to pieces and discredit the life of Jesus Christ as recorded in the four Gospels has failed absolutely. Why? Because Jesus lives. Why? Because Jesus died. Why? Because Jesus rose again, as recorded in the four Gospels. It is absolutely impossible for a man to sit down before the four Gospels with an unbiased and honest mind, determined to find out the truth and come to any other conclusion that this four Gospel record of the life and words and works of Jesus are a completely accurate history. How many of you believe in the Word of God? I believe what it said. I said I believe what it said. In fact, modern archaeologists have used descriptions found in the Bible to make some of their greatest discoveries. Y'all, Jesus lived. The historic record says he lived. The Dead Sea Scrolls found in the Qumran caves in 1946 say he lived. Jesus not only lived, but I also believe that he did what the Bible says he did. I believe that he healed the sick. I believe that he cleansed the leper. I believe that he raised the dead. I believe that he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I believe that he was crucified on a cross. I believe that he was raised from the dead and seen by thousands. I believe there is a God. There is a God. And we have his manual to teach us how to live. Is there anybody who's thankful that you've got a manual to teach you how to live? His word teaches the lost how to be saved. His word teaches the weak how to be strong. His word teaches the fool how to be wise. His word teaches the corrupt how to be righteous. His word teaches the proud how to be humble. His word teaches the fearful how to get you some courage. Some philosopher might attempt to construct a very profound argument to prove that Reverend Garner does not exist. But my birth is recorded history. And my spiritual journey with God is a matter of record too. What are you talking about, Pastor? I know that it's a matter of record because my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that there is a God because I have a personal encounter with him every day of my life. If there were no God, I would have made a total mess of my life a long time ago. But the proposition that God is has never failed me yet. I have risked my life. I have risked my reputation. I have risked my work and my everything upon the fact that the God of the Bible is real. And is there anybody here other than me that has given it your all and you don't mind standing up and saying that I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is. I said, God is. God is. Do you believe the report this morning? The Bible says that in the beginning, God, that means that before there was nature, there was God. Before there was science, there was God. Before there was human history, there was God. Before our individual experiences, there was God. Man may think he knows everything, but who but God knows the number of stars in the sky? Who but God knows the volume of water in the oceans? Who but God knows the temperature of